you have your program, I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program. On that back page, you'll find the scriptures we're going to follow very closely this morning. Our scripture comes from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, Genesis chapter 6, verses 8, 9, and 10, and Hebrews 11, 7. I'm going to read them from the New King James Version. It's printed on the back of your program there. And it reads, "And he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I want to speak to you now from this part two of Noah, and really want to emphasize the curse. The curse. This is Noah's, and Noah's a complicated figure because he is, the scripture says only two people in the Bible, does the Bible actually say walk with God. One was Enoch, and then the other one was Noah. And as we look at this Noah who actually did walk with God, it is a bit surprising, some of his actions. And I want to try to lift up some of his actions, because as I think about Noah, I really think about humanity, think about you and me and how we are. And there are times when we can walk with God and really be just by God's side. Then there are other times that we, if we don't actually drink, we act like we're drunk. We do things that just don't make sense. And even curse. And so when I look at Noah, I see a reflection of myself, and I see a reflection of humanity, and I want to try to look at what is it our Christ does to help us in these challenging times. I like the fact that the Bible says the first time the word grace is used, grace is first used in reference to Noah. God says, the Bible says, he looked upon Noah with eyes of grace. The Lord saw Noah, and then he showed him grace. And that's a beautiful thing. God looks at you and I, and you know what he does? He shows us grace. It's not some spirituality that we have. It's not some holiness about us. It's just the grace of God. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. And so God has shown us his grace. And he does that with Noah. He shows Noah God's grace. And as we come to understand who Noah is, I put Genesis 5:29 there because this is it established the fact that God had cursed the ground. And it says, the last sentence says, because the ground which the Lord has cursed. And this is the first time that the ground is mentioned as being cursed. Now remember in the a third chapter of Genesis, Adam and Eve sin, and God tells the serpent who led them into sin, God told that serpent that you curse. And then when God speaks to Adam and Eve, he does not curse them, but he says the ground that you have to live off of, that ground is cursed. And so it will not be friendly towards you anymore. It's going to be thorns and thickets, and you're going to have to fertilize, and you're going to have to work hard to have a living from the ground, because the earth had been blessed. And then sin came. And I shouldn't say the earth had been blessed. God said it was good. And then after God had pronounced it good and said it was very good, then God, when they sin, God then curses that ground. So it's no longer good anymore. It's no longer great as it had been. Now the ground had been cursed. And when Noah comes along, Noah is the 10th generation from Adam. And now for 10 generations, this ground had been cursed. And so Genesis 5:29, I have printed that for you. It says, Noah comes along to bring comfort for the work and the toil of the hands, because God had cursed the ground. Noah was to help make things better. He wasn't to reverse the curse. He wasn't going to eliminate the curse, but he was going to make that cursed ground easier to deal with, and he was to offer comfort during humanity's time here. And so Noah was to be one to bring comfort and to bring health and healing to make things better. And he does for those that will hear what God has to offer. But everybody on the planet except for 8 people would not hear what Noah had to say. Noah and his 3 sons and their wives and Noah's wife. And so those 8 people were the only ones that were saved, and God had Noah to build an ark, and it took him several hundred years to build that ark. And while he was building the ark, he was also preaching to people to turn to the Lord, and everybody was turning away from Noah and calling Noah all sorts of names. And Noah finally got the ark built. God told him to go inside. God then told him the animals would come, and God sent the animals inside, and then God told him to shut the door of the ark. It's interesting when you read this story, God does not shut the door himself. He tells Noah to shut the door. And there are some things God could just miraculously do, but instead, God has chosen to use you and I to do it. There are some things God has assigned to you to do. And God has said, God could do it. Now, he could send somebody else to do it, but God has put your name on that task. And it is important for us to hear, what is it the Lord wants from you? You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. God has a purpose for your life. And you need to be talking with God, asking God, what is your purpose? What does God want to do in your life? And so we have him now listening, and God having told him, this is what I want you to do. And then Noah does it. He gets on the ark, and he's him and his family are saved. Everybody else dies. Then God, after about a year, God sends Noah and says to Noah, I'm going to now have the water start to decrease, and you are going to be able to come out. Noah comes out, and then we find in the 9th chapter, verse 20, I have it printed there, and Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk. Noah gets drunk. It is a problem in our Christian faith that we sometimes are not able to handle the blessings that God gives us. And we can get drunk. We can get out of our minds with material things, with farming things, with stuff that God has blessed us with. Instead of using it properly, we use it improperly. And this is after God had already saved him. This was supposed to be the new world. The first action in the New World was he becomes a farmer. That's a good thing. You have to farm in order to have the vegetation we need for the animals and for ourselves and to make our planet as good as it can be. We need farmers. But then the next action after becoming a farmer is that he takes some of that blessing that God had increased him with and he becomes drunk. And sometimes in our Christian churches, we can become drunk. And it is with the material stuff, become drunk. With materialism, become drunk with having more money than anybody else. Not just having enough for you and your family and for the next generation. You want more money than anybody else. That's somebody that's drunk with materialism. We can become drunk with power. You can become a drunk with stuff. And so here he is, Noah becomes drunk. And then in his drunken state, he gets naked. And in that nakedness, he's ashamed for anybody to see him naked. Now, let me tell you, my friends, anytime you are ashamed for somebody to see you, that's an indication that something's not right with you. I went to Vegas and we went to a show and we did some other stuff, and I saw some good Christians up there. They were not at a show. They were not doing they were not doing what the Bible teaches. I don't have no problem you going and enjoying yourself, having a nice show, but you want to remember now, first of all, the first thing that needs to be in your mind is that I'm Christian first. It's not that I'm a gambler first and cursing at the casino people. And cursing that you didn't get your card, didn't hit the blackjack number. You see Christians doing some strange things in Vegas. In fact, they done moved Vegas here now, so you don't even have to go to Vegas. You can just go out to, what is it, Manuel's? What's it called? It's a lot of, I'm looking right at you. He said he was out there on the job. He was doing his job. Yeah, that's right. Okay. But there's so many places now you can go. You don't have to go all the way to Vegas. It's right here. But God is still watching us. God is aware of us. Noah gets drunk. And the Bible wants us to be very clear that this was drunk and he is uncovered. He was naked in his tent. Now, when that happens, his middle son, Ham, goes by the tent and sees his father naked. And he says to his brothers, our dad is naked. His brothers then go and cover the dad up. They walk in backwards so they wouldn't see him. They walk in backwards so they won't see their dad, and they cover him up. Now, when Noah discovers this is verse 22, Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. It was really his middle son. Knew what his middle son had done to him. Noah then curses the middle son. Now, I want you to note something. Chapter 9, verse 1, and I think I printed it there. I said 11, but it's not 11, it's 1. Verse 1 should be there. God, let me read this too for our radio audience. I want you to hear this. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God blessed Noah and his sons. So the first part of the outline, the Lord cursed the ground because of our sin, this was started by Adam and Eve. And the second part is God blessed Noah, and I put the word and I want you to write in his sons. God blessed Noah's sons. Now, Noah gets upset with one of the sons because Noah had gotten drunk and the son saw it. And so Noah decides he's going to curse who God had blessed. And he knew that wasn't right. And so since God had blessed his son, Noah knew he couldn't curse his son. So what does he do? He curses his grandson. He said, I can't curse Ham because God has already blessed Ham. This is in all in the same chapter. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God blesses his sons. He recognizes he cannot curse that which God has blessed. And so he then puts the curse on his grandson. It's right there in the text. He curses Canaan, who is the son of Ham, who is Noah's grandson. He offers this curse. It wasn't something God told him to say. It was something he did out of anger of his son seeing him having done what was wrong. And when anybody catches us wrong, we still get angry at them. He should have said, God, have mercy on me. I did what was wrong. Instead of saying, have mercy on me, I did what was wrong, he curses the one that saw him do the wrong. That's the devil rising back up again. After God had washed the whole earth and had cleansed all those that were not following him and going according to his grace, now Noah is bringing it back. He curses. He had the good sense not to curse what God had already blessed. But he uses bad judgment, poor judgment. He does what is wrong by cursing the grandson. Because he didn't acknowledge the fact that when God blessed his son Ham, he also was blessing Ham's whole genealogy. It wasn't just for Ham. It was for all those that would be descendants of Ham. God blessed them. He did not curse them. He blessed them. In that ninth chapter, verse 1, God blesses Noah and his sons. That's the generations that come after. And he's still continuing to bless the generations that come after. That's what God is. God is in the blessing business. But I have this word from Galatians because I need you to get this. Let me get the third part of the outline first. Noah speaks a curse upon Canaan because of Ham saw Noah drunk and naked and was embarrassed and angry. That's the third part of y'all. Noah speaks a curse upon Canaan, which is his grandson, because Ham, Canaan's father, saw Noah drunk and naked. He was angry that somebody saw him drunk and naked. What he didn't realize is that God always raises up a witness. It doesn't matter what you do, God has a witness. You can hide it, you can deny it, you can lie about it. God has a witness. And the Bible says, and he writes it down. It's a written record. Now, and that's true of every one of us. You think that nobody knows. You think that nobody says, oh yeah, somebody knows. Somebody saw it. The angel in heaven has written it down. And I shudder at that thought. I'm scared at that thought because I've done wrong. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And God has written it down. He knows the day, the time, the hour. He knows all of that. But we got some good news here. And I have it written it there for you, the last part of the outline. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Now, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, we have been redeemed from the curse. The curse of sin, the curse of Adam, the curse of Noah. God has redeemed us from the curse. And look at how he does it. He redeemed us, having become a curse for us. Jesus Christ becomes the curse. It's written, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree. He died on the tree, taking on the curse for us, the curse of sin. That's why we had to have Calvary, because somebody had to die for our sins. And Jesus Christ said, I'm going to take on the sins of the world. I'm going to take on Adam's sin, Eve's sin, Noah's sin, and everybody else's sin. He takes on our sin, and then he dies on the cross for us. That sin, that curse, that which was being cursed upon you and upon me, God has buried that curse, and it lives no more. It has no more power. Jesus Christ has died on the cross and saved us from our sins. Now, we still got to acknowledge him. We still have to embrace him. We still have to say, God, forgive me of my sin. And Jesus Christ then takes that sin away. We got this Savior who has redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the curse of sin. This past week, I was at Pavilions. Sometimes they have a certain cereal that I like. I said, well, I'm going to go and see if they have it. They don't have it all the time, but sometimes they do. I said, I'm going to go and see if they have it. I don't have a Pavilion right near me. There's one in Culver City, so I went to that one in Culver City. And while I was there, something unfortunate happened. It was about a four or five-year-old kid, and his mother was cursing him out. I mean, using every word you could ever imagine. And I hung my head down. She was right, maybe 2, maybe 3 feet from me. And I started getting angry. And I told you, I used to curse. I started thinking of a lot of words. I finally cast all that out, and I said, let me step outside because I'm getting too angry, and I'll say the wrong thing to this lady. I couldn't think of any Christian thing I could say. My mind was flooded with words that I know I had promised the Lord I wouldn't use. But I felt like she needed to be cursed out. And I believe she is going to get it, but it won't be from me. But I stepped out. And you know what happened when I stepped out? The security guard heard her. And he says to her, Miss, you have to leave if you're going to use that language in here. I said, thank you, Jesus. She started talking about him then. And I said, good, at least he can defend himself. And he said to her, you're going to have to leave now. And then he got on his radio. I guess he was calling somebody else. That lady, she left. The sad part is the little kid had to leave with her. But I've been praying for that little kid ever since. Lord, help him, deliver him, make a way for him. I remember Billy Graham told a story. I was at a training session with the late Billy Graham when I was in New York. And Billy Graham tells the story of a man that was cursed at home, and it was around his children. And one of the sons ended up becoming a preacher. And it was when his son became a preacher, in spite of having grown up with this father that drank and cursed all the time, somehow the Holy Spirit came in there, and the man in his later years finally came to Christ. It was God raising up somebody in spite of the environment that they were in. And so I want to encourage you, in spite of the environment, when you see some cursing, it's time to pray. You may not be able to stop your car. You may not be able to do it where you are. Just in your mind, in your heart, just start offering a prayer. Lord Jesus, you hear what I'm hearing. Have mercy. Bring a blessing out of this cursing. Redeem this person. Just as you have redeemed me, redeem that heart. Turn that heart around. Let that heart become convicted that I want to do what's right in the sight of my God. That's what the scripture says here in Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. You're no longer cursed, and cursing ought not to be a part of your life anymore. I hear cursing right on the parking lot here. I started to point to you the one I heard. No, I'm not going to do it. But we need to recognize that it's all around us and sometimes in us. But we got a Christ that can redeem us. We got a Savior. We got a Lord of Lords and Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He can redeem us. We got to be willing to let Christ come in. And I'm going to close with this. Not only does he redeem us, he says in verse 13, he says also in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him. The blessing of Abraham. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and every generation that comes after you. I'm going to bless you. And you will have my presence with you. I will present myself to each one of you. And then he promises this, he will give us his Spirit. And so whenever we attempt it, whenever we have some failings and some flaws, I have been mistreated, I have been cursed, God says, call on my Spirit. Because my Spirit will be able to pick up a bow down here. My Spirit will wipe the tears from your eyes. My Spirit will bring rejoicing in your soul. Call on the Spirit of the living God. I'm glad I got his Spirit. I'm glad he lives. I'm glad he lives in me. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today may want that Spirit of Christ.